I wonder, before we go further in the Lord's service, if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts they just feel like needs to be said or done. If not, then we'll go to that which the Lord has placed upon your heart, upon our hearts this morning. Got your Bibles, you'd like to follow along, we'll go to the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to start with verse 14. We ask that you would please pray for us this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus here was doing the speaking, and he said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. And the thought that we had placed upon our hearts for this morning would be this little light of mine. This little light of mine. As I was trying to study and pray over this past week about what it'd be that God would have me to do and say, my mind kept going back to my Sunday school class when I was a little child. One of the very first songs that we were ever taught growing up was "This Little Light of Mine." And in that song, it would say, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. No, I'm going to let it shine." And as I started to do some reflecting upon that, and I started to pray and study the scriptures, I know this morning to us it just seems like, well, that's just a little song that children are taught to sing. But I tell you this morning, folks, I believe that that's something that we can learn and something that can be instilled into us, and especially me. Letting the light shine is a charge that Jesus gave his disciples here on the Sermon on the Mount there in your reading, where he said, "You are the light of this world, a city that is set on a hill and it cannot be hid." He said, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, so all that are in the house they can see." This morning, folks, as I begin to think and pray over these things, we are living in a world, and I believe the Bible says that the world prefers darkness rather than light. And we are in a world, well, what does darkness represent? Darkness represents sin. And we are living in a world and a time where people are more lovers of themselves than they are anything else, where we see people wanting to engulf and more and indulge more in sin. But I tell you this morning, folks, we have been given a commission by our Lord to let our light shine in this dark world. He said, "You are a light of the world, a city that's set on a hill, and it cannot be hid." Now you see Jesus we read in the book of Acts that he ascended into heaven. But we also read in the New Testament that Jesus, when he was getting his disciples ready, he said that, "I'm going to be gone, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'll give you a comforter." What's that comforter? It's this Holy Spirit. And I'm glad God left a comforter for his people. But you see this morning, as I begin to think about this, the world doesn't see Jesus. They don't. You know who they do see? They see his church. They see his disciples. We read it in the Old Testament that the people there, They looked unto the prophets for the words of God and the things that were to unfold and the things to come. And then we read how when John the Baptist came out of the wilderness there, that there was people that was there to listen to him and what was there was so he could point the way to Jesus Christ. We read that after Jesus ascended into heaven, that the world had looked to his disciples and had looked to them for the answers, had looked to them for instruction. And today, in this time and age, I'm telling you, this world still looks to God's disciples today. They still look to us. They said this, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill and it cannot be hid." He said, "Neither do men light a candle and put it underneath a bushel." Now, let me tell you this morning, folks. I'm so thankful and I praise God this morning for what he did for me on a mourner's bench there at Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church as that seven-year-old boy when he reached down and saved my soul. But I'm telling you this morning, folks, our work for God does not stop there. I am afraid. When we talk about testimonies, we talk about when God saved us, and that's it. But folks, and as I said last week, a testimony is something much more than it's about the time that God saved you. It's about what God has done for you ever since. How you've walked with God. How you've been with God. How you've been in the lowest valley and nobody else was there except God. Let your light so shine before men. He said, you don't hide it underneath the bushel. What is the very first commandment that Jesus gives us after we have been saved? That's to put it on a candlestick and to be baptized. And that's what we're doing when we join the Lord's church and be baptized, is we put our light on a candlestick so men can see, not see me, but see Jesus. Not see the good things that I've done, but that they can see that through Jesus I am a new creature, that through him I have passed from death unto life. That through him, all things are made and will be made new. You see, that we are to put our lights on a candlestick. We are to show people the goodness and the mercies of God and the things that God has done and given us and blessed us. Oh, let me tell you this. This little light that we have, you might say, well, now, preacher, how can I let it shine, you see. I will say this too. I'm afraid that down throughout the years and generations of our churches, we've seen people get saved by God's grace, but that's it. And I know I've said that before, but I'll say it again. People have came in, people have gotten saved, and that's it. They go back out in the world like nothing ever happened. And folks, let me tell you this morning. If God has saved your soul, you're not called to go back and live like the world. You're called to be a follower of Jesus. You're called to let your light shine before men. Our work isn't just coming in on Sunday morning and sitting on the pew and listening to the word, but our work is to be doers of the word and not a hearer only. To be doers, you know, letting our light shine. Let me tell you this. Jesus said in the book of Matthew in chapter 6 and verse 6, Jesus was talking and trying to teach his disciples about prayer. And I know that when we read this part of the scriptures, we often say that this is the Lord's Prayer. Well, I'll tell you this. I believe it was a model prayer. And I believe this morning that it was a prayer that he gave his disciples not to pray exactly like, but to show them in what manner that they should. And I'm not going to go too much into detail unless the Lord wants us to do so. But I know in the very beginning he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He said, whenever you go to the Lord in a word of prayer, you need to recognize who you're talking to. You need to know the position that he is in, and you need to know the position that you're in. And that's the fact that the position that you're in is the fact that you cannot do anything without him. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, we read that Jesus, he said, when you pray, and you enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I believe this morning, and you can take it as it is, but I believe you can tell when somebody's been in their closet praying to God. I believe you can tell when a preacher has been in his prayer closet, because God rewards him openly for that. Allows him liberty to preach. I believe you can tell when just a lay member has been in prayer, and that's when their face just lights up a little bit. Oh, and you see the goodness of God come over them. Folks, let me tell you this morning, we do not need to desert the duty of our prayer closet. And I'm afraid that's what has caused our light to be dim. We have forsaken that duty of the prayer closet. Not only have we forsaken it, but listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, when you have entered into thy closet and has shut the door. This is what I believe about prayer. This is what I believe the scripture teaches about prayer. You don't necessarily need to be down on your hands and knees screaming out loud to God, but your heart needs to cry out to him. I don't believe... Now, I do believe in the drawing power of God, and if God is drawing you to come to this mourner's bench and seek his face, then you come seeking him. But the main thing is the altar that's being made down deep within the heart of man. When you enter into your closet and you've shut the door, God is a very personal God. When he reaches down and saves a soul, let me tell you, that's done with two parties. One, the sinner seeking after God, and two, God. Nobody else. And if there's anybody that even dares comes to this church or in any other church and tries to say that a sinner has been praying for too long, then we need to be sure that we sit them down. Because it is between the individual and God and them alone. And I don't just believe that for lost individuals. I believe for saved individuals too. You pray, and you might go home. You know, I've got a little study room down there in the basement of my house. I've got a little mourner's bench there. That's my praying room. That's where I like to get alone from everybody and get alone from the world and seek after the face of God. And now yours might not be so. It could just be a recliner. It could just be your living room couch. It could just be in your car. I believe as long as we get the heart right, we are able to pray and commune with God. But it starts with shutting the door. See, I remember Mama growing up, me and my siblings or my cousins, we'd be playing outside in the yard of the house. And whenever we would come in, we'd leave that door open. And do you know, let me tell you, her voice is ringing in my ear right now. You know what she would say? She'd say, "Boy, were you raised in a barn?" And you know, whenever she said that, you know what my inclination was? Was to go shut that door. It's to shut that door. Make sure it was closed. Folks, let me tell you this morning, When we go and try to commune with God, we need to be sure we don't allow anything else to come into our closet. It just needs to be us and Him. Communion together. This world that tries to come in and Satan that tries to come in and buffets us and tempts us, folks, you need to be sure that you kick that out. Hebrews, the writer tells us, therefore, getting rid of the sin that does so easily beset us, hinder us. If it hinders you, kick it out. Be gone with it. It only needs to be you and God in your closet. Nothing else. I've told my wife, when we first got married, we thought that we would go down to Verizon. We both had pretty old phones, so we thought we'd go down to Verizon and get us some brand new phones. And of course, being young and dumb and not knowing really how money works, they'd say, well, if you buy this phone right now, you can buy it and you can only pay $20 or $30 a month on it. It's like, nice, that's great. Then the next thing I realized is that we're going to be paying on that for about 2 years. It's funny how places like that get you. But anyways, we got these nice smartphones, nice intelligent phones. You have access to the internet, social media, and everything that's on it. And I've told her, I said, the second we paid these off, I'm going to be sure to get me a dumb phone. Why? Because when I'm in my studies, when I'm in my closet, you know what I find lots of times? I'm in there and I'm playing on my phone. And instead of me just searching the scriptures and seeking the face of God, I'm too busy playing on my phone to do anything. Folks, let me tell you, if it hinders you, you kick it out. Period. And not just because that's what the preacher says so, but that's because Jesus said when you've entered into your closet, you need to shut the door. Don't allow anything else to come in. Jesus goes on and he says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but yet they put it on the candlestick and giveth light to all that are in the house. Letting our light shine starts with us denying ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, and it also says in Luke 9:23, that if any man wishes and has any desire to follow after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Get rid of everything that you are, your passion, your pride, your will, and the very thing that you want done and want to be in control of. You lay it all down at the feet of Jesus and follow Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And you know what I found? When I seek God's will then becomes my will. And then when God's will becomes my will, there's nothing else that I would rather want done in this life other than knowing that God is pleased with my efforts. It also tells us in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul says that we are to be conformed not to the world, but be conformed to the image of the Son of God. That word conformed means to be made to resemble. You know how I said earlier, the world, they don't see Jesus. They see His church. They see His disciples. And folks, we need to be sure that the people that are looking upon us with every single thing that we do, we need to be sure that they see Jesus in all things. He said, be conformed, be made to resemble Him. John chapter 1, when John said, I'm not that light, but I'm sent to bear record of that light. Folks, we are not the true light of God, but we are sent and we are here to bear witness of the glorious light that is Jesus Christ. So in that song, it says, hide it under a bushel. No. No. No, I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to put it underneath. I'm not going to hide it away. I'm going to let it shine. Folks, be sure that your light is not underneath a bushel. Be sure it's not underneath something where it dims it. But be sure it's up for all men to see. Because in this world and in this society, darkness has covered a multitude of things. And how else will people see unless the light is set upon a candlestick? See, and especially we had two to get baptized here recently. Praise God for that. But you know what? The work for God doesn't stop after you get baptized. It continues on. And when you go on, that light needs to continue to shine forth and shine bright. And let me tell you this, if you have been saved by the grace of God, you'll understand what I'm saying. I don't believe this morning that when we get saved, everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows and flower gardens. It's just not. Every moment we get saved, what happens? Satan comes and tries to hinder us. Oh, and let me tell you, I've made myself very acquainted with him these last 2 weeks. But you know what I believe is that if Satan isn't fighting you, then there's something wrong. If Satan isn't trying his best to blow your candle out, then there's something wrong. It's not going to be all green pastures. You're going to have your days when you're up on the mountain and you're seeing the glories of God. And then you're going to have your days where you're down in that valley and you're down as far low as you can go. And you think that there's no one else that you can turn aside. But I tell you this morning, folks, if you've been saved by the grace of God, we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And his ear is there. He hears the young ravens cry. He hears the birds and the cries that they make in the morning. And yet so much better are we in the eyes of God than those creatures out there. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Job chapter 1. Job was a man that went through a lot of temptations and a lot of distress, did he not? Let me tell you what, I think I got it bad some days. You go look at the first chapter of Job, and Job had it a whole lot worse than I do. What is it? What's the very first thing that happens? Satan went to God and he said, God, I've tried searching throughout the land. I don't know who to go to. God said, well, if you considered my servant Job, you can do anything you want to him, but I've set a hedge round about him. I believe this morning that when God saves us, he sets a hedge round about us. Satan can't harm the spiritual side, but he will harm and hinder our physical side as much as possible. So what happens? Very first thing, Job gets boils and blisters. Job hears that all of his children had died. Job hears that everything that was in his possession was just burned up. Job was left with nothing. I'm going to repeat that. Job was left with absolutely nothing except a bunch of scars and boils on his skin. I know there's a lot more that goes into that, but I'm just giving you a brief overview. You can go study it for yourself. Job had a wife. And I tell you this morning, folks, if you're saved by the grace of God and you desire to be married, you need to pray that God sends you the right person. Because the right person can either make or break your spiritual walk with God. And it's in all honesty. Job had a wife. You know, the wife wasn't supportive of anything that happened. She didn't say, well, maybe we need to seek after God. You know what she did? She saw Job, saw the distress, and she looked there and she said, Job, just curse God and die. Get it over with. Turn your back on him. The God that you proclaimed that you so loved, he's not with you. Turn your back on him. Just curse him and die. You know what Job said? The Bible says he rented his clothes, he took them off, he shaved his head, he fell down, and he said, God gives, God takes away, but yet blessed be the name of the Lord. God will give, God will take away, but yet in everything, whether I'm up on the mountain, whether I'm down in that valley, whether it seems that everything is just falling in pieces and going wrong, God gives, God takes away, but yet blessed is the name of the Lord. Job, we read all throughout that book. Job was whining and complaining, and of course, he had reason to. He was whining and complaining, and his friends that went to him instructed him to just hold on to God, to just stick with him, to stay by his side. And you know what the Bible says after that, the end of the book of Job, that God blessed Job tenfold more than what he had prior. Oh, the blessings of God, they outnumber the tragedies that go on in our life. The blessings of God outnumber everything that may go wrong. Oh, but yet in everything, God is still right there by our side. Folks, Satan tried to blow Job's candle out. He didn't succeed. Don't let him succeed when he tries to blow your light out. Don't do it. Don't let him succeed. Stephen, we can read all throughout scriptures the trials and tragedies that had happened to all these people. One in particular, Paul and Silas, they were preaching the gospel of Jesus and they got thrown in the Philippian jail. Let me tell you this. I will say this. I'm not thankful with everything that has happened and transpired in America over the last several years. But I'm still thankful today that we have our liberty to go into the house of God and worship. So let me tell you, it can be taken away like that. God gave this stuff to us, and God can take it away. And let me tell you what, there's worlds and there's countries out there where the gospel is absolutely prohibited. Philippians, well, in the Philippian jail, when Paul and Silas got thrown in there, they were beaten, bad. I mean, bad. People had bit them. They were beaten. They were mocked. They were spat upon. They took their clothes off of them. They mocked them. They shamed them. And yet, when they were in the Philippian jail, when they were in that jail there, they could have easily turned their back on God. See, you know what Satan was doing? He was trying to blow that light out. And they could have easily let it go out. But you know what happened? The Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and they sang praises to God. And through them praying and singing praises to God, there was an earthquake that happened. And it causes darkness to fall, and then the Philippian jailer was getting ready to kill himself because he couldn't find his prisoners anywhere. Then all of a sudden, Paul and Silas came out of the jailhouse. Sir, do thyself no harm. very first saying came out the Philippian jailer's mouth. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What needs to be done? Let me tell you what, in the times that you're going through, it seems like life's hardest moments, you stick to God, you let it shine, because there's a victory that needs to be won in that. We think nobody's watching. Folks, let me tell you, every single body out there is watching. They're keeping an eye. And what are we going to give them? Jesus said that you would maintain your good works to glorify your Father in heaven. So what are we going to give them? We need to give them the best that we have so they can see Jesus. God gave His best when He sent His only Son to die for us. So I think it's actually a fair trade-off if we turn back around and give our very best back to God. Psalms 107, and I'll try to be done after this. Psalms 107, the psalmist was writing there. He said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who has been redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Let the redeemed say so. Who's the redeemed? Well, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've been washed and cleansed by His blood, by Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, you are redeemed. You were bought with a price. And because we have been redeemed, we need to say so. I know me and my wife, we've been watching the show here lately, and this person, they said so. The person that questioned them said, "Well, why'd you just say that all of a sudden?" They said, "Well, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So that's what I'm saying. So? It goes much deeper than that. Oh, it's to say so of what God has done for us. And I know that sounds like I'm beating a dead horse, but folks, if you have been redeemed, you need to say so of the goodness and the mercies and the testimony that you have of the goodness of God. That all praise should be to Him. Colossians 1 and 10, Paul was writing there. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God wants us to be close to Him. He wants us to increase in Him. He wants us to be with Him. He wants your light to so shine before men. And if you think it's a little dim right now, folks, go to Him. Oh, and He'll light that candle up. He'll light that fire up where you can go out and tell people of His goodness. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, well, let's start off with verse 6. He said, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We are not to not hoard up what is in us, what God has done for us. But yet, when God saved us, we need to let that light shine forth outwardly. Make its way work from the inside out. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, I know this is a little backwards here, but in 4 and 3, he said, "But if our gospel be hid, if our good news is hid, if our testimonies of what God has done, if that is hid, it is hid to them who are lost, who are perishing, who are walking the broad road that leads to destruction. If it is hid, it is hid to them. Folks, don't hide your light. Don't let Satan blow it out. But in all things, as that little song says, I'm going to let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let's let it shine till He comes. Sister Rachel, if you want to get us a song, I'm done. But I had to write this down last night as I was studying, because this came to me, and it came to me so crystal clear. And while I'm concluding this, I hope and pray that this gets into your heart and you think about it, because I've thought about it all night last night. This thought came to me. It says, let your light so shine before men, because you might be the only Bible that some people may read. You might be it. So let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Sister Rachel.